well as the entire interior.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's Business and Oil and Lifestyle sections, followed by Far West Texas News at 7.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 66 and partly cloudy and windy. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Then tomorrow, dusty with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, May 3rd. Gravity offers up to 5,000 tanks for crude storage. The story was written by Mela McEwen. Gravity Oil Field Services is making its storage tanks, normally used as frack or mud tanks, available to producers for crude storage. Sinking oil storage capacity has roiled the markets in recent weeks, contributing to a plunge in oil prices. Amid the search for additional capacity to store the flood of crude not being used by a world shut down by the COVID-19 pandemic, Gravity Oilfield Services is stepping in to help. The Houston-based Water and Energy Infrastructure Company is offering its inventory of crude oil storage tanks to operators in the Permian Basin, Eagle Ford, and Haynesville plays. Quote, "We already own the tanks, and as a result of the decline in their normal use for frack tanks, mud tanks, etc., we are making them available for crude oil storage to fill the immediate needs of our customers as the other storage becomes unavailable," Rob Rice, the company's chief executive officer and president, told Reporter Telegram by email. The company has already shipped out more than 1,000 tanks in the past couple of weeks and has another 4,000 more available for immediate shipment, Rice said. The company Gravity doesn't plan to build more. The tanks, Rice said, are generally used for temporary storage of liquids but are being made available to customers for long-term use. Quote, "Historically, they have not been permanent, and we do not expect them to become permanent storage now. We do expect they could be used for at least 12 months, Rice said. He said the company is seeing high demand in the Permian, Oklahoma, South Texas, and North Louisiana. Quote, "The highest demand to date has been in Oklahoma, but we are seeing increasing demand in the Permian, Rice said. In a statement announcing the availability of the tanks, Mike Sledge, Gravity's vice president of sales, said, quote, "We have successfully navigated distressed markets before, and we are committed to leveraging our best-in-class safety record and our fleet of tanks to help operators navigate this challenging market. Small advantages could add up to keeping service companies afloat." The story was written by Mela McEwen. Oil field service companies are using every tool in their toolbox to find a way through the economic crash being experienced by the energy industry. Quote, "There is no silver bullet to make it through times like this, but having these small advantages help," Jason Waters, president of W&W Energy Services, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, "It is all about delivering value to your client and keeping your people safe. In my mind, doing things that way is what gets you through," end quote. His company has begun using its new knuckle boom crane truck to help reduce time and costs associated with traditional crane movements. Costs have been reduced by up to an estimated 40%, he said. Quote, "There is no doubt the use of knuckle boom cranes has differentiated us from our competitors," Waters said. "Offering anything to clients that improves safety exposure while reducing costs gives our business an edge. These knuckle booms are not new technology by any means, but what is new is the type of work we perform with them, which has typically been done using very expensive and slow traditional cranes," end quote. The knuckle boom crane truck is a 2019 Kenworth K900 tractor with an integrated Palfinger 11002 high-performance hydraulic knuckle boom crane capable of hauling, lifting, and setting large tanks in oil field equipment. It can lift up to 12 tons at a range of 24 feet and 3 tons at a range of 73 feet. It also can manage all sizes of spoolable pipe reels, 1,000-barrel tanks, and vessels. Not only does the integrated truck and crane reduce costs, it improves safety by reducing excessive manpower and simultaneous operation risks, Waters said. Based in Odessa and founded in 1982 by the Waters family, W&W Energy provides facility and well maintenance, facility projects and construction, engineering and design, pipeline construction, tank and vessel hauling, field maintenance services, and precast concrete solutions. The company employs 300 and has locations in Midland, Monahans, and Carlsbad, New Mexico, in addition to its Odessa headquarters. Last year, the company joined Petrofac, an international service provider to the oil, gas, and renewable energy sectors. RigUp, expanding pilot COVID-19 testing program for Midland Odessa employees. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Earlier this month, RigUp began a pilot program offering screening and testing for the novel coronavirus to operators in the Midland, Odessa, and San Angelo areas, as well as RigUp's workforce in its oil and gas, wind, and solar operations in the two markets. In the 2 weeks since the pilot launched, about 1,000 oil and gas, solar, and wind industry workers have been digitally screened, with at least 500 workers physically tested. A RigUp spokesman told the Reporter Telegram the company's workers in Midland, Odessa have been given free access to online COVID-19 testing eligibility assessments. The online tool is voluntary and primarily benefits those workers who are concerned about potential symptoms or exposure. "Based on answers to the assessments, I'm aware we'll follow up with workers flagged for future evaluation and determine on a case-by-case basis if the individual needs a nasal swab and to self-quarantine until test results are received, usually in 2 to 4 days. The second step of the program is being guided by I'mAware, which has partnered with national laboratories for the testing and has arranged for telehealth professionals to discuss the next steps for workers with positive tests. The need to mitigate COVID-19 exposure risk at a job site led one major operator to reach out to RigUp to conduct testing at 2 job sites north of Midland. After one of its employees came down with a severe case of the novel coronavirus, the operator reached out to RigUp and its partner, I'mAware, to quickly screen and test its 50 workers at the 2 sites. Through its partnership with I'mAware, RigUp was able to coordinate the delivery of 100 test kits and send a licensed nurse to begin screening at-risk workers. The nurse facilitated 20 tests the same day of the request, before returning to the job site the next morning with additional test kits delivered from Houston to screen the remaining workers at shift change. Within 48 hours, the operator had screened and tested all of its at-risk workers and received positive or negative results for each of its workers. RigUp has also announced a partnership with Parsley Energy, an early adopter of RigUp's testing program in its pilot phase. Parsley is now rolling out the COVID-19 screening and mitigation program to a few hundred more of its workers at job sites throughout the Permian Basin. RigUp is currently working with job site operators to expand the program to its workforce across the oil and gas, solar, wind, and construction industries nationwide in the coming weeks.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, May the 3rd, 2020. Oil briefs from Wire Reports. Helmerich and Payne decommissions 37 drilling rigs, lays off 2,800 people. Tulsa drilling rig operator Helmerich and Payne decommissioned 37 rigs and laid off 2,800 people across the United States as a record oil bust caused by the coronavirus pandemic continues to take its toll on the industry. Helmerich & Payne closed its second quarter, which runs from January through March, with a $420.5 million loss, a large swing from the $60.9 million the company made 1 year prior. The company's second quarter revenue of $633.6 million was a 12% drop from the $720.9 million of revenue from the previous year. The company attributed the second quarter loss to writing down the value of $563 million in assets, which included 37 drilling rigs from the field across the United States, and decommissioning them. During a Friday morning investors call, the company's chief financial officer, Mark Smith, said removing those rigs from service also meant laying off 2,800 people, and that more might be coming. Helmerich & Payne started the year with 299 drilling rigs deployed across the U.S. and 8,500 employees around the world. Phillips 66 loses $2.5 billion in first quarter. Houston refining and pipeline company Phillips 66 said Friday that sales and profits plunged during the first quarter as demand for refined products fell. The company reported a first quarter loss of $2.5 billion compared with a $204 million profit during the same period in 2019. Revenues fell 10.5% to $21.2 billion compared with $23.1 billion in the first quarter of 2019. Plagued by lockdowns related to the coronavirus pandemic, gasoline demand has plummeted by more than 40% from a year ago, while inventories are 10% above the average for this time of year. Phillips 66 reported in March that it was taking several steps to deal with the record low crude oil prices by cutting $700 million in capital spending, eliminating $500 million of operating costs, and suspending a stock repurchase program that still had $2.1 billion remaining. The company said Friday that it has obtained $3 billion in new loans and bonds.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American. Depends on what you think is normal, by Dennis Elam. When do you think things will return to normal? Was a question asked by Maria Bartiromo to her guest on Fox Business. Here are the facts. The stock market peaked February 12th at 29,551 closing. The first wave down lasted 26 trading days, ending March 23rd at 18,214. Wave two up was equal in time, ending this past Wednesday, April 29th, at 24,633. Wave 3 began immediately Thursday, closing down 200. 88. In pre-market trading Friday, the Dow Jones average was down over 400 points. How can I be so sure February 12th was a terminal top? Volume on the Wave 2 rebound declined every one of the 26 days. If this were a new bull market, the mantra of every certified financial planner, volume would be expanding. But hold on, Professor. The NASD has recouped nearly all its drop. Yes, but that is due to the overweighting of 5 tech stocks, which account for 38% of the NASD value. Those same 5 are 20% of the S&P 500. Breadth, fewer and fewer stocks participate in the rally, is the final casualty of a bull market. On February 12th, 80% of the S&P 500 were over their 200-day moving average. That number peaked again at 30% Wednesday. Watching TV cable business news, which touts every rally in 5 stocks as the entire market, is grossly misleading. So what went wrong? Only the U.S. stock market recovered to a new high after the 2009 market low. The rest of the world never made a new high. There is TMS, too much stuff, financed at low rates. The solution is lower prices, deflation, and bankruptcy, the latter now underway in the oil patch. State budget shortfalls. The Economist by M. Ray Perryman. States have begun to announce major projected budget shortfalls. Some estimates put the national total at $500 billion. The COVID-19 pandemic has not only decreased revenues, but also increased the need for state spending. The result is large gaps and looming calamity. Many states are asking the federal government to include relief in future stimulus packages. Some leaders in Washington have even suggested that states file for bankruptcy. But that has many adverse and disruptive consequences and is likely unconstitutional. In Texas, total state revenue in fiscal 2018 was nearly $120.2 billion. Of that amount, 46% came from taxes. The other 53.7% is mostly federal income, 33% of total revenue, with a variety of categories including licenses and fees, lottery proceeds, and land income comprising the remainder. The retail sales tax accounted for nearly 27% of total revenue for the year. Other large sources of funds were motor vehicle sales taxes, 4%, motor fuels taxes, 3%, and franchise taxes, 3%. With the economy basically shut down for weeks on end and only reopening gradually, all of these revenue streams are down drastically. While people are still buying food, it is generally tax exempt, as are medicines. Simultaneously, falling oil prices are decreasing severance taxes on oil and natural gas production. Such reductions primarily affect the state's economic stabilization, rainy day fund, and state highway fund, but also decrease general revenue. Looking at where Texas spends money, the largest category by a wide margin is public assistance payments, including Medicaid, with outlays of $45.4 billion in fiscal 2019. Intergovernmental payments totaled $27.8 billion and include funds for schools, among other things. Fortunately for Texas, the state's rainy day fund has been growing well over the past decade, totaling $12.5 billion about a year ago, and continuing to increase, thanks primarily to strong growth in oil production prior to the recent price collapse. The legislature also typically builds in a little cushion in the biennial budgets. Nonetheless, it's not a good situation, and it's likely to get substantially worse. It will be terrifically challenging, but Texas is in a much better position to weather the crisis than most, irrespective of what the federal government does. Be safe. 2020 appraisals average 4.5% increase by Anita Campbell, chief appraiser for the Ector County Appraisal District. Appraisal notices have been delivered for most real estate. Notices for business, personal property, industrial property, and agricultural use property will be mailed in the next few weeks. All property owners should receive notices by the end of May. If you have not received a notice for each of your properties by June 1st, you should call our office at 432-332-6834 or email at ector@ectorcad.org. Texas law requires the appraisal district to discover, list, and appraise all taxable property within Ector County. We are required to notify the taxpayer of our opinion of market value or the price you could expect to receive for the sale of your property. State law also mandates that appraisals be based on market conditions as of January 1st. Market information on January 1st, 2020 reflected an average increase of 4.5% in the value of single-family properties from $192,766 to $201,440. The average market value of new homes also increased slightly, even as the number of new home completions decreased from 1,438 in 2018 to 1,117 in 2019. The timing could not be worse. Amid a serious economic downturn, further complicated by the COVID-19 pandemic social distancing guidelines, homeowners will receive a notice of appraised value with an increase in their market value based on a healthy economy and a strong housing market leading up to January 1st. And while there is a tax code provision allowing temporary tax exemptions for qualified property damaged by a disaster, the Attorney General's office summarizes that this exemption applies only to physical damage and any economic damage caused by COVID-19 does not apply. ECAD normally meets with 2,500 to 5,000 property owners during the protest period, exchanging information regarding square footage, physical condition, quality of construction, recent sales for comparable properties, and income and expense information for commercial properties. Often in these meetings, property owners and appraisal district staff can agree to a property value without the need for a formal protest. With offices closed to the public, it is likely phone lines will be busy and our voicemail will be full. To ensure you meet the protest deadline, you can mail your written protest form to 1301 East 8th. Or visit our website at www.ectorcad.org and file your online protest. Make sure you provide a phone number and email address. Our appraisal staff will attempt to contact you in an effort to reach a settlement, so please provide as much information as you can to support your opinion of value. We must also inform you of the amounts deducted from your market value for qualified exemptions for each taxing entity, the estimated tax amounts, and your rights as a taxpayer. You, as the taxpayer, have the right to protest any of the information on your notice. To protect that right, please check your notice carefully. Verify the ownership and mailing address information. If the property is your principal residence, make sure you are receiving the exemptions to which you are entitled. If the property is used for agricultural purposes and you have filed for special appraisal, verify the market and agricultural values of your land. We appraise about 90,000 real estate and business personal property accounts and 142,000 mineral properties each year, and we understand the potential for inaccuracies. Our job is to maintain ownership records, administer exemptions, and determine market value, and we do a better job with your input. So please check your notice carefully to ensure the accuracy of your assessment. Errors discovered now can be corrected, but failure to timely protest could be time-consuming and costly when you receive your tax statement. The goal of the ECAD staff is to be accurate and helpful in each step of the ad valorem process. This year is no exception.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 65 and partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Then, tomorrow, sunny with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, May 3rd, 2020, Life and Times. Challenging Transition, Midwife Adapts During Pandemic, by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. While hospitals seem to be focused on COVID-19 patients, some future mothers are finding alternative birth options during the pandemic. Hannah Beaver, 27, of Abundant Life Midwifery Services, is a midwife who normally would practice out of her home in Odessa, but since the COVID-19 pandemic, she is now making house calls to limit the exposure that mothers may have to the coronavirus. It's definitely a heightened time for us as midwives. My heart goes out to these women because it is not an easy time to be pregnant and trying to have your babies, she said. She said since the beginning of the pandemic, she's seen a rise in clients and that it's interesting because there is no option for pain medication in home birth. Instead, she said she uses water birth to help with reduction in pain and pain management. Overall, it's been an influx in panicked calls from moms. I've had to walk them through the process, she said, explaining that mothers don't get an epidural at home, and if complications come up during the birth, then they would transport to a hospital. Home birth isn't always guaranteed, she said, but our support is. She added that she only works with low-risk mothers who haven't had high-risk complications in their previous pregnancies and mothers with good health to lower the risk of complications at home. Beaver said that she's had to explain to a lot of people calling that the home birth process is very different from hospital birth in that way. As far as the virus, I haven't had a single client with any symptoms or showing any signs, Beaver said. One of her goals as a midwife is to limit that panic and fear that mothers have during this time, because having a baby is supposed to be one of the most exciting times in your life, and unfortunately, the climate right now says otherwise, she said. Building relationships is at the heart of Beaver's work, she said, and although there is a birth assistant present at the time of labor, there is no place more intimate and safer for mothers than their own homes. Her work goes further than the birth, and some of that acts as guidance for mothers as well. A lot of people want to meet a newborn baby and hold that child, she said, but during this time, it's important to limit the exposure a newborn may have to the virus. So she advises a lot of FaceTime calls and sometimes meeting through the barrier of a window. Because of the close relationships she's formed with clients, she said that she's made some strong friendships. I become that person they confide in and share these hardships with. I see them up to 6 weeks for their postpartum visits in-home, and these visits are just accounts of their experiences and stories having a baby right now. Victoria Speed, 27, said that in her first pregnancy she had a hospital birth and it was quite a bit of a stressful experience. So when she got pregnant a second time, she started to look for other options. She met with OB-GYNs and said that a lot of her concerns felt dismissed. I just felt like another number, just kind of rushed in and out, she said, adding that questions weren't really answered. Halfway through her second pregnancy, Speed started researching midwives in the area. She met with Beaver and said she instantly felt relieved. I knew that it wasn't going to be a fight to get the